Chapter 26. Kylar walked onto the sands of the stadium, ready to hurt someone. The stands were full to overflowing. Kylar had never seen so many people. Vendors walked the aisles, hawking rice, fish, and skins of ale. Noblemen and women had servants fanning them in the rising heat, and the king sat in a throne, drinking and laughing with his retinue. Kylar thought he even spied a sour-faced Lord General Aegon to one side. The crowd buzzed at the sight of Kage. Then a gate opened opposite him, and a big peasant stepped in. There was a smattering of disinterested cheering. No one really cared who won. They were just happy that another fight was about to start. A horn blew, and the big peasant drew a big rusty bastard sword. Kylar drew his own blade and waited. The peasant charged Kylar and lifted his blade for an overhead chop. Kylar jumped in, jabbed his blade hard into the man's stomach. Then, as the peasant tripped past, Kylar slashed his kidney and hamstring. His sword glowed yellow, orange, red. Everyone seemed taken off guard, except for the blade masters, sitting in a special section in their red and iron-gray cloaks. They pealed a bell immediately. There were a few cheers and a few boos, but most of the audience seemed more startled than anything. Kylar sheathed his sword and walked back into the fighter's chamber as the peasant dusted himself off, cursing. He waited alone, sitting still, not talking to anyone. Just before his next turn, a huge basher with a tattoo of a lightning bolt on his forehead sat next to him. Kylar thought his name was Bernard. Maybe it was Lefty. No, Lefty was the twin with the broken nose.
"You've got 9 fans out there who'd love it if you'd make a bit of a show next time," the basher said.
Then he moved on. Kylar's second opponent was Imuri. The horse lords didn't often come to the city, so the audience was excited. He was a small man, covered with layers of brown horsehide, even his face masked behind leather. He too had kept the knives at his belt, big forward-curving Gurkhas. His blade was a scimitar, excellent for slashing from horseback, but not as good for a sword fight. Further, the Imuri was drunk. As ordered, Kylar played with him, dodging heavy slashes at the last moment, mixing in spin kicks and acrobatics, basically violating everything Durzo had taught him. "Against a competent opponent," Durzo said, "you never aim a kick higher than your opponent's knee. It's simply too slow, and you don't leave your feet. Jumping commits you to a trajectory you can't change. The only time to use a flying kick was what the Siurans had developed it for, to unseat cavalry when you yourself were on foot and had no other option." This time when Kylar won, the crowd roared. As Kylar came in from his fight, he saw Logan going out. Logan's opponent was either Bernard or Lefty. Kylar hoped the twin wouldn't be too hard on him. A few minutes later, though, Logan came in, flushed and triumphant. Bernard, or Lefty, must have gotten overconfident. Kylar's third fight was against a local swordmaster who made his living tutoring young noblemen. The man looked at Kylar as if he were the vilest snake in Midcryu, but he was overeager on his ripostes. After scoring a single touch on Kylar, he lost and stormed off. It was only when Logan won his third fight against another swordmaster that Kylar smelled a rat. Then Kylar won his fourth fight against a veteran soldier, oddly enough, a low-ranking one, and not from a good family, but against whom Kylar should have had a tough match. The soldier wasn't a good pretender.
Kylar almost didn't attack the openings the man left. They were so blatant that Kylar was sure they were traps. Then he understood. The peasant had been real. The Imuri had been drugged. The swordmaster had been intimidated. The soldier had been bought. It was a single elimination tourney. So now, there were only 16 men left. Kylar recognized 4 of them as Sakage, which meant there were probably another 4 Sakage he didn't recognize. The 9 had stacked the brackets. It infuriated him. But he sailed through his last fights as if they mattered, doing jumping spin kicks, arm bars, leg sweeps, elaborate disarming combos, and everything else ridiculous he could think of. He'd thought that the 9 believed in him, that they were giving a real chance, do or die. But this was just another scam. There were great fighters here, but they'd been bought off. No doubt the bookies were making money hand over fist as Kylar rose through one bracket, and none other than Logan Gyre rose through the other. Logan. Tall. Handsome. Logan, the scion of a leading family, was hugely popular. So Logan's first fights had been staged to be very close so the Sakage could depress the odds against him. Then Logan had sailed through the more recent rounds. Great fighters took their dives at unlikely times, padding the Sakage coffers further. In most cases, it was done convincingly. When a semi-competent swordsman was trying to stab you, it didn't take much pretense to miss a block. But Kylar could tell, and he could tell that the Blade Masters could tell. They looked furious, and Kylar imagined it would be a long time before they could be convinced to hold a tourney in Cenaria again. The process must be so obviously corrupt to them that Kylar doubted they would grant him Blade Master status, even if he earned it twice over. Just as obvious was that the king couldn't tell, at least not until one of the Blade Masters went over and talked to him. A line jumped to his feet, and it took his counselors some time before they could calm him enough to make him sit still. So the 9 had made their point with the king. But there was still money to be made, and if Kylar guessed correctly, the 9 wanted to make their point with the whole city. Kylar was disgusted as he walked out onto the sand to face Logan. It was his last fight. This was for the championship. There was no good way out. He had half a mind to toss his sword at Logan's feet and surrender, but the king would think that the Sakage was declaring its support for Logan. Then it would only be so long before he hired a wet boy to go visit the Gyre estate, or a simple assassin if the Sakage wouldn't take the job. Nor could Kylar let him win after a close fight. Now that the king knew the Sakage had stacked the whole event, he would think they were trying to make Logan look good. So what was Kylar supposed to do? Humiliate his best friend? The earlier elation had faded completely from Logan's face. He was dressed in fine, light chain mail with black links in the shape of a gerfalcon on front and back, and the crowd roared as the two came together, but neither of the young men paid the crowd any attention. "I'm not good enough to make it this far. You've set me up," Logan said. "I've been trying to decide what to do about it. I was thinking of throwing my sword down and capitulating to spoil it for you, but you're Sakage, and I'm a Gyre. I'll never surrender to darkness and corruption. So what's it gonna be? Do you have another blade hidden that isn't warded? Are you going to kill me publicly just to remind Cenaria whose boot is on her throat?" "I'm just a sword," Kylar said, his voice as gruff as Blint's. Logan scoffed. "A sword? You can't excuse what you are so easily. You're a man who's betrayed every part of his better nature, who at every junction has decided to walk deeper into the darkness, and for what? Money?" Logan spat. Kill me if that's what you've been paid for, Shadow, because I tell you this, I will do my best to kill you.
Money? What did Logan know about money? He'd had money every day of his life. One of his worn-out gloves could be sold to feed a guild rat for months.
Kylar felt hot rage wash through his blood. Logan didn't know anything. And yet, he couldn't be more right.
Kylar leapt forward at the exact moment the horn blew, not that he cared whether he was following the rules.
Logan began to draw his sword, but Kylar didn't bother. He launched himself forward with a lunging kick at Logan's sword hand. The kick connected before Logan had the sword halfway out of the sheath. It smacked the hilt from his fingers and twisted him to the side. Kylar ran into Logan, twined a foot around the bigger man's legs, and carried them both to the ground. Kylar landed on top of him and heard the breath whoosh from Logan's lungs. He grabbed each of Logan's arms and yanked them up behind his back, trapping them in one hand. He grabbed a fistful of Logan's hair with the other hand and slammed his face into the sand as hard as he could, again and again, but the sand was too yielding to knock him out. Standing, Kylar drew his sword. The sounds of Logan moaning and his own heavy breathing seemed to be the only sounds in all the world. The stadium was silent. There wasn't even any wind. It was hot, so damned hot. Kylar slashed viciously across Logan's left kidney, and then his right. The sword was warded, so it didn't cut, of course, but it was still like getting smacked with a cudgel. Logan cried out in pain. He sounded suddenly so young. Despite his huge body, Logan was barely 18, but the sound embarrassed Kylar. It was weakness. It was humiliating, infuriating. Kylar looked around the stadium. Somewhere, the nine were here, watching, each dressed as an ordinary man, pretending to share his neighbor's horror, pretending to be friends with men they despised, men they would betray for nothing more than money. There was a noise behind Kylar, and he saw Logan had fought to his hands and knees. He was struggling to stand. His face was bleeding from 100 tiny cuts from the sand, and his eyes were unfocused. Kylar lofted his glowing orange sword to the crowd. Then he spun and smashed the flat of the blade into the back of Logan's head. His friend crumpled, unconscious, and the crowd gasped. Humiliating Logan had been the only way to save him, but humiliation served in such a dishonorable manner would not draw attention to Logan's defeat, but instead to the Sakage. They were vile and shameless and omnipotent. And today, Kylar was their avatar. He tossed the red sword down and raised his hands to the crowd once more, this time in dual one-fingered salutes. To hell with all of you. To hell with me. Then he ran.